way, my truth, my life. Such a way as gives us breath, such a truth as ends our strife, such a life as killeth death. Come, my light, my feast, my strength, such a light as shows a feast, such a feast as mends in length, such a strength as makes his guest. Oh, my joy, my love, my heart, such a joy as none can move, such a love as none can part, such a heart as joys in love.
Amen. An elderly man wandering on a lonely beach found a magic lamp. Naturally, he rubbed the lamp and a genie appeared. The genie told the old man he would grant him any wish. The man thought for a while and said, "My brother and I had a fight 20 years ago, and we haven't spoken since. My wish is that he would finally forgive me." The genie clapped his hands. A bright light shot out across the sky, and then he said, "Your wish has been granted." Then the genie said, "You know, most men would have asked for wealth and fame, but you only asked for the love of your brother. Is it because you are old and dying?" The man said, "No, I'm not dying. My brother is, and he's worth $60 million. No wonder that man wanted his brother's forgiveness. There's another story about a little boy who was saying his prayers one night as he went down the list of the family, asking God to bless each one of them. He omitted his brother's name. His mother asked, "Why didn't you ask and pray for Danny?" He said, "I'm not going to ask God to bless Danny because he hit me." And his mother said, "Don't you remember Jesus said to forgive your enemies?" The little boy said, "That's just the trouble. That's just the trouble. He's not my enemy. He's my brother." Sometimes it's hard to forgive a brother or a sister or someone close to us. You feel they should know better. They should know what hurt you, and they should care enough to always do right by you. In today's lesson, Simon Peter wanted to know exactly what the master expected out of him when it came to forgiveness. He asked Christ an important question. "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Even as Peter asked the question, my mind can't help but think about the children who sometimes confess something they do wrong, expecting to get praise from a teacher or parent because they were so honest. In the same sense, Simon Peter, by asking this question, is not expecting rebuke, but praise. He's expecting Jesus to say, "Excellent, Peter, you go to the head of the class. You get an A+. According to Jewish law, P Peter had the right to think that he had said something noble. Scriptural law clearly read, if a man transgresses one time, forgive him. If a man transgresses two times, forgive him. If a man transgresses three times, forgive him. If a man transgresses four times, do not forgive him. What Peter does is to take this law of limited forgiveness, multiply it by two and add one, and then sit back with a smile on his face and say, now, how is that for being a great guy? Can anybody be more generous than I am? Peter's patting himself on the back, you see. After all, Peter was exceeding the demands of the rabbis, but he still seemed unsure that he knew what Christ expected of him. Some of us probably would like an answer to that same question. Lord, how often can someone do me wrong and I forgive them? Forgiveness is a big problem in our lives. There have been persons who have wronged us, and it is so, so difficult to let go of our feelings of anger and resentment and even hatred. For many Christians, forgiveness of people who have hurt them is the biggest obstacle to their mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. 2 days ago, and continuing this weekend, we remember the most horrific day of our modern memories. America still feels the pain 19 years later, brought on by the slaughter of 3,000 of our fellow citizens, killed by jihadists who hijacked 4 jumbo jets and used them as missiles. Those attacks on our homeland took more lives in one day than the Pearl Harbor attack that plunged us into World War II. Meantime, unlike the world as it was on September 10, 2001, we now are aware that there are even more anti-American militants who are receiving materials and training and support from others. Because of this reality, some say we need to commemorate 9/11 by honoring our fellow Americans who perished with more than a light show, even one that is as powerful and moving as the one that we see. Some will say we need to honor them by grappling with who killed them and why. We need to renew the solemn vow that we won't let it happen again. We need to keep retaliation on the agenda. For these hardliners, forgiveness is not in their vocabulary. What if that had been said by Japan after Hiroshima? Well, we all understand why we must learn to forgive. Our willingness to forgive can have positive effects. The story is told of two friends who went walking down the desert, through the desert rather. During some point of the journey, they had an argument and one friend slapped the other one in the face. The one who got slapped was hurt, but without saying anything, he wrote in the sand, "Today, my best friend slapped me in the face." They kept on walking until they found an oasis where they decided to take a bath. The one who had been slapped got stuck in the mire and started drowning, but the friend saved him. After he recovered from nearly drowning, he wrote on a stone, "Today, my best friend saved my life." His friend asked him, "After I hurt you, you wrote in the sand, and now you write on a stone. Why?" The other friend replied, "When someone hurts us, we should write it down in sand, where winds of forgiveness can erase it away. But when someone does something good for us, we must engrave it in stone, where no wind can ever, ever erase it." So you see, real forgiveness keeps on leaving the sins of others and our hurts in the past. Yet Jesus understands the difficulty of such forgiveness. To keep on forgiving is a God-like characteristic. It's contrary to human nature. So that's why Jesus shared a parable to emphasize the importance of such a virtue. Our willingness to forgive can have positive effects, and our refusal to forgive one who has hurt us can have devastating effects, not only on them, but also on ourselves. It can shorten our lives. It can poison our memories. It can weaken our relationship with God and even afflict our feelings of self-worth. This is in addition to the damage done to our relationship with that person that we cannot forgive. You see, that's a high price to pay in order to hold on to resentment and anger and even hatred. But how, you may ask, how do we forgive those who have wronged us, especially if there is no repentance on their part? How do we let go of that pain, the resentment, the sense of betrayal? We let go, first of all, by recognizing that we ourselves have been forgiven. Time and time again, Scripture reminds us of the relationship between God's forgiveness of us and our forgiveness of one another. Our realization of the grace given to us calls us to respond in kind to others. Every week we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount includes, blessed are the merciful, for they shall, what? Receive mercy. More bluntly, we are told that we will be judged with the judgment we pronounce. More poetically, we read, beloved, if God so loved us, we are to love one another. You see, our relationship to God, our utter astonishment of God's mercy, grace, and goodness to us should compel us to recognize that we are so undeserving, that we have every reason to be merciful, gracious, and good to others. Now, we know that such behavior flies in the face of our current cultural climate. It's not part of the human norm. Jesus followed the answer to Simon Peter with an interesting parable of a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. One of his servants owed him 10,000 bags of gold. Since he was not able to repay the king ordered that the man and his family and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before the king. Be patient with me, he cried, and I will pay back everything. At this, the king took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed this fellow servant and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But the servant who had been forgiven a debt of 10,000 bags of gold refused. Instead, he had the man who owed him 100 silver coins thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Now, I must admit, I don't know exactly how this worked in that day, how someone who's in jail can come up with the money. I assume he's working off his debt with prison wages. But nevertheless, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and told the king everything that had happened. Then the king called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, the king handed him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Again, I don't know how that worked. Scripture tells us that Jesus added these ominous words. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. That's a serious indictment for the sin of having an unforgiving heart. Some of us, every time we pray, we ask God to forgive us of our sins. That's a countless number of requests for forgiveness over a lifetime. And yet, we may carry in our hearts grievances towards others that we should have let go of long ago. We can better let go of those grievances, the pain and resentment of betrayal, first of all, by recognizing that we ourselves have been forgiven through the grace of Jesus Christ. And then recognizing that our display of that grace to our brothers and sisters is not only a way of returning thanks to God, but it also opens the door for divine reciprocation. Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful." And further, he says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be measured, you get back." And week after week, we pray again, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Not to mention that bit about a speck in another's eye and a log in our own. You see, the messages resound through scripture and reverberate through all creation. Goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives, right? He's saying that there is something powerful in this thing called mercy and in this ability to forgive. Again, how do we forgive those who have wronged us? How do we get rid of the pain and resentment, the sense of betrayal? Well, by recognizing that we ourselves have been forgiven. And secondly, we need to recognize that forgiveness is the most powerful witness to the presence of Christ in our lives. Want the world to know that you are a follower of Jesus? Forgive someone who has done you a terrible wrong. Many of us remember the horror we felt on June 17, 2015, when we learned that a 21-year-old white supremacist named Dylan Roof had mercilessly slaughtered 9 African-American adults during a Bible study at the Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. It was a terrible event, but for some of the horror of that terrible event was replaced for some with the awe at the response of some of the family members of the victims when they confronted Ruth in court. They said things to him like, "I forgive you. You took something very precious from me, but I forgive you." Another person said, "I forgive you. My family forgives you. But we would like you to take this opportunity to repent." Repent. Confess. Give your life to the one who matters the most. Give your life to Christ. Still another said, "May God have mercy on you." As one pastor described it, these people had just gone through the most terrible storm you can imagine, but there was no hatred in their voice. Sorrow, yes, but no hatred, only love and forgiveness. Can you imagine a more powerful witness to the grace of Jesus Christ than being able to forgive a murderer of someone you love dearly? Forgiveness is tough business. Forgiving ain't easy. The great church father Augustine once said that sometimes people in his church omitted the phrase from the Lord's Prayer that says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." They just passed right over that phrase silently, he said, because they knew it would be lying for them to say that phrase aloud. I suspect that would be true of many Christians if we took seriously this segment of the Lord's Prayer. We would not want to utter those words as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgiveness is hard. It ain't easy. Forgiveness may be the most difficult requirement of our faith, but it will be easier if we acknowledge that we ourselves have been forgiven, and if we acknowledge that forgiveness is the most powerful witness we have to the activity of grace in our lives. And that brings us to the final thing that needs to be said. Forgiveness is a positive activity necessary to the healing and wholeness of our own hearts. When we do not forgive, two people suffer. The one we can't forgive and we ourselves. In other words, forgiveness is not only something we do for the person who hurt us, it's something we do for ourselves. Let me give you an example. In one of his books, Business Guru, Brian Tracy tells about a man who called him one day from the Netherlands. The man had a testimony to give. He said he was raised in a dysfunctional family. He didn't get along with his siblings. He had a bad marriage, was cheated by a business partner, lost all of his money, and now he was quite sick. To this, his doctor had said quite bluntly, "You're going to die. Your system is so shot, it's just like a worn out car. Everything's gone. You've got about 6 months to live, so you should make peace with whoever or whatever in your life you are unhappy with. Get your affairs in order, because there's nothing that modern medicine can do for you." The doctor went on to confront the man about his issues with anger. The man was angry with many people. The doctor told him he needed to let it all go. This got the man's attention, and he started to make a list of all the people he was furious with. He deducted that if he were to take the doctor's advice seriously, there were 39 people he needed to make his peace with. He went through the list and determined that he was going to forgive them all. Some of the people were difficult to forgive. With some of them, he said, I'm going to have to call that person, or I'm going to have to go and see him, that person, in person. So this man put all his affairs in order. He wrote his list, his last will and testament. He sold all his worldly goods. Then he phoned or personally visited all the people on his list, and he asked for their forgiveness. And he forgave them. For 6 months, he traveled around Europe and even to the U.S. in order to forgive people and ask their forgiveness. As he did this, his health improved and he got better, much better. By the end of the 6 months, he had given every single person that ever hurt him, he had given them his forgiveness. He went back to the doctor. The doctor couldn't believe it. "You are completely symptom-free," the doctor explained. His health was not only much better, but he had begun excelling in his work. He was feeling great toward himself and others. At the end of only 6 months, the caller was a transformed person. He had called Brian Tracy to tell his story because he had heard Tracy talk about the power of forgiveness in one of his seminars, and he wanted Tracy to know what forgiveness had done for him. Peter quizzes Jesus on the limits of forgiveness within the body of Christ. "What is required? 7 times? That sounds generous, right?" Disciples of Jesus struggle throughout the ages with how to get along and demonstrate the love and mercy of the one we follow. Is this a relief or a disappointment to us? Perhaps it's simply a reality each generation of Christians must confess and address. While we know we are united in, with, and through Christ, demonstrating our oneness takes work and we will inevitably fail unless we ask God for help. Living in community requires commitment. It requires humility. It requires patience. Every fruit of the Spirit it requires. And on top of that, it requires Christ's constant prayer for us. Perhaps especially now, when we are stretched, stressed, and anxious. We need Paul's instructions in Romans 12, where he preached, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Live in harmony with one another. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God." Yes, we need Paul's instructions as well as Jesus' warning more than ever. As the election season gets heated and the pandemic persists, the temptation to give into nastiness, to quarrel over opinions, to judge one another, and to not only withhold forgiveness, but seek vengeance. All that gets stronger by the headline, by each newscast, soundbite, and yard sign. Lord Jesus, surely in our context, forgiveness times 7 is more than enough. That's what we say to ourselves. But Jesus clearly says that, in fact, we ought not to keep count. We ought not to keep score, to keep track, to keep a tally of offenses and the number of times mercy is extended. Given the grace we have received, our forgiveness ought to know no end. But let's be careful. Jesus is talking about what is needed for restoration, renewal, and rebuilding of positive relationships. He's not talking about making oneself a doormat or a victim for abuse or mistreatment. That's not healthy or required of us. But is there someone you need to forgive? A spouse, a parent, a friend who has stabbed you in the back, an employer who has done you wrong? I know there's pain. But the most powerful witness we have to the reality of the grace of God at work in our own lives is the ability to forgive. As we forgive, we heal not only the wounds of broken relationships, we find healing for wounds inflicted in our own hearts by anger, hurt, and resentment. As we do this, we start putting in place ways that we can experience wholeness. God has forgiven each of us for every thought, act, and deed of which we are capable. Can we not forgive one another? 3 times? 7 times? Yes, even 70 times 7. And if 70 times 7 feels like too big a reach, we could start forgiving one person, one thing, one time, and then keep going until we get to the point that we lose count. Let the people of God say, amen.
Amen.
We open up now a time of sharing. We would lift up in prayer this morning all those who are experiencing special occasions. We also would lift up in prayer specifically Kathy Wahlberg as she prepares for eye surgery on Monday. We would send our condolences to the King family, Norma King. Her husband Roy died on Wednesday morning. And so we lift them up in prayer. And by the way, those of you who wish to send cards to Norma King, you can send them to Sandra King, her daughter, who is in the directory. Are there other joys or concerns that could be that we wish to share from United Presbyterian Church? Are there joys and concerns to be shared from Presbyterian Church of Teaneck?
Yes, good morning, church. We have a joy to share. Melvin's niece, Brittany England, was married yesterday to her husband, Anthony Estes, near Detroit, Michigan, and we just want to bless them and celebrate their wedding.
Okay, congratulations on a wedding. And to the niece of Melvin and Audrey England. Other joys and concerns?
Prayers for the Bostic family in Connecticut. My cousin, their father died on Thursday morning.
All right, thank you.
This is Larry Stevens from United Presbyterian Church. We have no particular joys or concerns, but we just ask you to pray for United and their members, and also for the Palisades Presbytery.
So we would lift up our friends at United Presbyterian Church. Other joys or concerns?
Good morning, church. This is Elder Menon. I'm glad to see all of your bright, shiny faces on Zoom. My camera's not working, so I apologize. But I wanted to offer joys for my nephew. He's been suffering some chronic illness for the last couple of years.
Deborah Neal Huffin, also from United Presbyterian Church.
Okay, there was someone who was speaking from United. Dr. Minnie, you want to continue?
Well, just quickly to say my nephew, Augustine Mathias, he's doing much better, and I offer joys. Finally, after a couple of years, we got the good news. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Elder Neal, did I hear Neal?
I just wanted to say I was speaking. Deborah Neal, and I was cut off. But anyway, I just want to say my sister, Darlene Neal. Unfortunately, my cousin passed away that Sunday, so I'm just asking you to keep the Neal and the Wilson family in prayer, and God bless each and every one of you, and continue to pray for our country, what's going on with the pandemic.
And our our condolences to you and your entire family as a family, from wherever we are, from whatever location we're in, from whatever congregation we are a member of, we join together in prayer. For next Sunday, we understand that United will be having services at their church. We here will be having services at our church, but we will still hopefully be available for those who are logging in and those who are calling in by telephone. We will continue to live stream and provide services for all those who are with us now. Let us then, as the people of God, join together in prayer. Gracious God, our rock and redeemer, you are indeed our source of stability on the storm-tossed seas of life. We come with thanksgiving for the freedom you offer. We hear the good news of forgiveness. We hear of the servant who is released of a debt that he could not repay, only to inflict on others the same guilt from which he is free. As Christ stands at the door and knocks, as he invites us to open the door, that he may come in and dine with us and we with him. Help us, O Lord, to open our lives to him and practice the same forgiveness God gives us so abundantly. We owe our very existence to your pardon, which lets us dwell in your faith. Help us to remember, Lord, for we seem to practice forgetting, not forgetting the faults and wrongs of others, but rather we forget who made us and why. We forget your daily grace and unremitting love. We forget your forgiveness of ourselves and our neighbors. We forget so much because there are some things we remember too well. We remember perceived injustice done to us. We remember times of betrayal and cowardice we try to keep hidden. We remember moments of envy and pride of which we are ashamed. Lord, forgive our sins of forgetting and remembering, and help us to pray, to trust in him who buries all our sins deep in the tomb of his own death and raises us up daily to a life of happy service in Christ. We pray for your presence, that it will sustain us and empower us, support and encourage us. We pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit, so that as we face various trials at this stage in our lives, we may weather those storms, whether our trials or illness or surgery or grief or loneliness or anxiety, whether we have said farewell to someone who is meaningful to us. Lord, we ask for your presence. And we ask for that same presence as we experience the joys of healing, as we experience the joys of coming together, as we experience the good news in our lives. Lord, keep us remembering that you are a God who never leaves us alone. Because you are always near, we pray for your guidance, that we may not lose heart. Our cities teem with people whose lives are in torment. Violence seems to be everywhere. Confusion, mean-spiritedness seems to abound. But Lord, help us to work for reform, a reform that will bring order and justice not only to our lives, but to our society. Empower us, O Lord, to serve you in new ways. We ask in the name of him who taught us to pray. Say, our Lord and Savior, who said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." As we prepare for the close of this time of worship, we thank Mr. Garth Robinson for coming over and getting our technical problems figured out. And we thank Mr. Blaine Shaw for joining us this Sunday. And we thank Sister Bennett for her consistency throughout this period. Again, we hope to share our worship service from the sanctuary on next Sunday. And so please listen out for information that we have coming regarding service. And it's interesting, let me just share with you. Somehow I got on a text messaging a group message. Unfortunately, it's in Spanish. And so while I've been doing the service, they have been texting back and forth to each other and including me in this conversation. And there have been 17 different text messages going back and forth, all in Spanish. And so after the service, I have to do a little work to say, get me off your text messaging line. Technology, it is our friend, but it's a challenge as well. We pray that you will be blessed in the week to come. We pray that your soul will be renewed. We pray that whatever is facing you, that you will be able to take it to the Lord and leave it there. Yeah. Our closing hymn is "Help Us Accept Each Other."
Words on the screen.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God our Creator. Amen. Do you hear that harmony? in peace. We invite you to unmute yourselves or and unmute your videos. Turn on your videos if you dare. And you can unmute your microphones and
have a
time of sharing.
I thought I would just be seen and not heard this Sunday.
Okay, all right.
That's Willis.
Yes, I recognize the voice. There were a couple of people talking about it during the week. They said, who is that guy? I said, I know who he was.
Oh, Pastor Tate, I forgot to ask Pastor Michael and them in Northern California with the fire. Uh-oh. Where'd she go?
Can't hear. Asked for prayers for her mother who had a fall recently.
Okay.
Okay. That's how, you know, that's how they...
And she's like, don't all look tough.
Okay. Mr. Chang Soon and all those of you who are online, we interesting. I just mentioned that I had a text conversation. It was between a husband and wife. And if I don't know what secrets I could have gathered if I could read Spanish, but fortunately they were back and forth in Spanish, but they forgot that I was on their line. I tell you, you better watch technology.
That's right, they'll track you down.
And hello, everyone. Good day. And each one of you have a blessed and a safe week.
You also.
Thank you. Thank you. Same to you. And thank you, Miss Audrey, for being our voice and narration during our time of whatever. I know what happened. They were in here testing yesterday. Yeah.
It certainly was.
And they changed the settings on the computer. And so fortunately, Garth realized that pretty quickly and came over to change that. Hello there, Sister Taylor. Thank you for reading our scripture. Here's my hand down here. I'm on the side of the computer. There I am. Okay.
Is Dottie up there?
Yeah, Dottie Smith. There she is.
Hi, Dottie.
Hey, Ma. Unmute yourself. There you go.
You can say good morning.
Good morning to all of you.
Good morning. Good morning. It's good seeing you.
I'm blessed to be able to be a part of the Sunday morning services. But I do have something today. My oldest daughter was 74. I told her to herself.
Okay. Wow. We won't tell anybody.
Okay.
Wow.
To the Nylanders, hello to each of you. I'm down here below Blaine.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
everyone. I miss everybody. It's good to see everybody.
And we hope that when we are able to get back together that, we're working out some technical difficulties, but we hope that... everybody will be able to join us either online or in the service itself.
And good morning, Pastor. How are you?
Okay.
That wasn't us that messed up the microphone. Don't blame us.
Yes, it were. Yes, it were. It was the settings. It was y'all changed the settings on my notepad. I got to blame somebody.
Pastor, I think you have to forgive instead of blame.
Okay. Oh, that's right. You
seven times seven.
Okay. All right. I forgive you. You can sweeten the pot, though, if you want to. But yeah, it's, this whole technical thing is. It's something.
Yeah. It's a whole new learning issue.
Yeah, we'll all get used to it and do what we need to do. But it was funny throughout the sermon. I mean, these text messages were going back and forth and back and forth. And my Spanish, I knew I got a text message this morning about the 85th anniversary of Washington Heights Pentecostal Church.
Oh,
and so I was able to you know, it was in Spanish, but I was able to figure out what was going on. But then Reverend Figueroa and was communicating back and forth with his wife. So they must be in service somewhere. And yeah. they're sending text messages while they're in service. So I'm getting all these messages. Nagunya, Palaka, Oye, Oke Dima, El Nubre Que El Mundo, Buscolua. And I'm going, what the heck? So I'm good. I can't wait to see them next week and tease them about letting me in on their private conversation. As far as we know, we will be in the sanctuary next Sunday. How many of you are thinking about coming to worship on Sunday?
I am.
Okay, Mr. Chang Soon and Adapos, Mr. England. Mm-mm. Okay, Mr. Collier, I didn't see a hand wave. I just see a grin. I see you grinning. We might just send out a group email and just ask how many plan to attend. But we do have notes on the pews to indicate, distancing. And so we'll try to continue that.
Pastor, as we start our services with the doors open, we certainly want to utilize at least the first 2 weeks to maybe dedicate a few of our members to only use dial-in just as a test, so that when we're moving towards October and November, we know what works and what doesn't work. So we may want to allocate maybe the Colliers, if they remain home, just to dial in without video, and another family to dial in with video, so that we can get some feedback on what we could improve and what we need to remove, right?
Okay, good idea. One can dial in and one can log in.
Yes, Audrey said she will be one that will log in via just the dial-in with the phone.
Okay, all right.
Great idea, Mel.
Yes.
I can dial in as long as I get my computer fixed with the video.
Okay. No. Or you can dial in on your computer.
All right.
I'm trying to process that. Dial in on the computer. Okay. Okay. So anyway. All right then. Well, again, have a blessed day and enjoy. I don't think it's gonna be too hot out there. Hopefully you all will have a good day. I didn't get any barbecue last week for Labor Day, but that's okay. I forgive you.
I haven't either.
That's the second forgiveness, Pastor. Keep going.
I keep going. I might get up to 7 before the day is out.
Yeah.
And so for those of you at United, we will be joining you for the session meeting in about half an hour. So. Peace be with you all.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
I'll see you on the phone.
Okay.